Following the critical and rating success of seasons 1 and 2 of the A&E TV series Longmire, Craig Johnson celebrates the holidays with Sheriff Longmire novella Spirit of Steamboat. This time it all begins when the sheriff has an unexpected visitor on Christmas Eve, which all comes out of reading A Christmas Carol in his office on December 24th. It's a great pleasure to welcome Craig Johnson to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
Very
happy
nice.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. What is it inevitable when you write a series that at some point you probably have to do a holiday novel?
No, not at all. Not at all. Like this was it was interesting like that because it wasn't really supposed to be a novel at all. Like a novella in the least. Generally, what I do is I write these extended short stories for Viking Penguin between books. And they put them out as e-specials, and there have been a couple of them so far. I think there's been Divorce Horse, Messenger, a couple of others like that. But that's what this was really originally supposed to be like that, and I started working on it. And after about 4 days, I called them up in New York, and I said, this thing is already over 80 pages long. You know, I don't think it's a short story anymore. What do you guys want to do with it? And they came back and said, you know, well, we'll put it out as a novella in the fall is what we'll do. And it did very well. It was number 18 on the New York Times bestsellers list, like that, and kind of came as a surprise, I think, to everybody. And you know, it's one of those things where I've been writing short stories, for I guess the first one that I wrote, Old Indian Trick, was it actually won the Hillerman Award and was in Cowboys and Indians magazine. And the first year that I had my first novel, The Cold Dish, come out, I thought, you know what, everybody that signed up on my newsletter, you know, the CraigAllenJohnson.com, you can go there and sign up for the Post-its. And I thought, you know what, it'd be nice to just give everybody, you know, a short story. And so I did. I sent it out, as you know, on Christmas Eve, like it as a free gift to everybody. And I didn't know what kind of trouble I was making for myself until the next year in November, when everybody started writing me emails and saying, okay, well, when is the Christmas short story going to be sent out? And I realized, oh, people are expecting this every year. Like, so I started doing it, and I've been doing it now for about 9 years. Like that, and I've got another one that's going to be going out, you know, on Christmas Eve at exactly 11:59. So don't ask me any sooner like that. But this one was one that kind of grew, you know, to beyond its capacity. And I've always been a big fan of Dickens's Christmas Carol. I think it's just an absolutely magnificent, you know, Christmas tale. And one of my favorite lines from that particular novel of Dickens was the one that Marley gives to Scrooge, where he says, no space of regret can make up for one life's opportunities misused. You know, and the more people that I talk to, older people, you know, the more they can seem to come to the same conclusion that it's not the things that you did in your life that you regret, it's the things that you didn't do. And so for me, it was kind of an opportunity to, you know, write something that, you know, had the psychological underpinnings that kind of made sense. I mean, you know, it's this young woman shows up at Walt Longmire's office, and she's looking for the sheriff of Absaroka County on a Christmas Eve. And you know, Ruby calls Walt in. Walt walks out. She goes, no, not you, older than you, who was the sheriff before you. Mm. And so Walt walks her over and shows her the, you know, the 8x10, you know, pictures, you know, there in the old Carnegie Library of all of the previous sheriffs of Absaroka County. And she looks at the one for Lucian Connolly and says, him, like it. And he says, well, that was Lucian Connolly. He was the high sheriff of Absaroka County before me. And she goes, he's dead? And Walt says, well, no, he's still very much alive and still a big pain in all of our butts. He's over there at the home for assisted living, and I'm going over there and play chess with him here, you know, in a couple of hours. And she says, I need to see him. And Walt says, well, you know, maybe if you tell me what this is about. And she's carrying a garment bag, and she hugs it a little tighter, and she says, I need to give something back to him. And so, you know, it's Christmas. Walt's in a generous mood. She doesn't look dangerous, so he takes her over to the home for assisted living and introduces her to Lucian to her. And she looks at Lucian. She says, you don't remember me either, do you? And Lucian says, you know, young lady, I flew B-25s off the decks of the USS Hornet in 1942, so an awful lot of water's gone under the bridge. So maybe if you give me some kind of a clue as to what our connection is, maybe I can help you. And she leans forward, and she says only one word, steamboat. And at that point in time, we kind of get projected back into 1988 and kind of an epic flight that the sheriffs make in a vintage B-25 bomber in an attempt to try and get a burn victim who's coming down in a medevac helicopter on a Christmas Eve, like at 1988, but the weather's so bad there's no way that helicopter will ever make it. So they have to try and make it in this old B-25 that has the name Spirit of Steamboat on the side of it.
You make this point very early in the acknowledgments of the book that it's not so much about the suspense of killing characters off in a book, but rather of trying to keep them alive.
Well, you know, when you write murder mysteries, you know, it's kind of predicated that, you know, you're going to have to kill somebody, you know, generally in just about every book like that. But this one was a little bit different. It was an attempt to try and, you know, keep these characters alive like that, you know. And it was interesting in the sense that, you know, all the way from book one, we know that Walt Longmire does not like to fly. It's something that he does not enjoy like that. And, you know, for him to put his life on the line in this blizzard in a vintage aircraft to try and get this little girl all the way down to Children's Hospital in Denver is quite an endeavor. And, you know, it goes back to that line about Christmas Carol. Like, I mean, he's trying to convince the EMT guys that flew the helicopter in to, you know, to make the ride the rest of the way in that old bomber. And they look at him and they're like, are you crazy? Like, you know, you're either the bravest or the craziest individual I've ever met. And Walt says, well, it really doesn't have anything to do with either one. What it has to do with is that I'm going to have to look at myself in the mirror tomorrow morning, and, you know, and I don't know if I don't make every effort I can to try and keep this little girl alive, if it's all going to be worthwhile. And so, you know, that kind of sets the stage, you know, for what it is that happens later. And it's kind of a challenge like that, because this is not a beautifully restored, perfectly, you know, reconditioned aircraft. This thing is like a piece of junk. Okay, it's trying to fall apart the whole way down to Denver, you know, and so it kind of becomes something of a more of a thriller, I guess, in a sense, like that, because we kind of know that they're going to make it like that. But the question is, you know, what kind of condition is it they're going to be in by the time they get there? So,
is there a time that it brings you to, in the sense of in writing a book that is certainly marketed around the holidays and has a time frame of the holidays, that it just by virtue of that takes on a different tone?
Well, I think, you know, you don't really have too much of a choice. I mean, you know, Christmas is kind of overpowering, like in that time of year. And, you know, anybody who's in law enforcement, you know, anybody who, you know, is in, you know, the emergency medical services or anything like that knows that it's a particularly busy time of the year, whether you like it to be or not.
Right.
And, you know, and I think that, you know, that does kind of set a tone, you know, for this particular novella. And even, you know, even Dickens's story, the Christmas Carol, like that. I mean, it's always going to be a question of strangers showing up, you know, and on a Christmas Eve like that. And, you know, what kind of a trajectory, you know, change it's going to have in your life and possibly in theirs. And you know, I think that does kind of set a tone, you know, for this particular novel, I have to admit.
Have you been surprised by the fact that this character has caught on, that it is a character that people enjoy reading about?
Well, I obviously, to the extent that it has. I mean, with a television show, you know, and the books being as successful as they are, and you know, in foreign country translations, you know, and all these other things that have been happening, it's kind of, you know, amazing to see what's happened. But, you know, there are a couple of things I think that, you know, that kind of have led to that, and in the sense that, you know, an awful lot of the time, you know, in crime fiction, you know, the characters tend to be, you know, a little bit comic booky. They tend to be the 6'2" of twisted steel and sex appeal. Every woman wanted him. Every man feared him. He could kill anyone with a #2 Ticonderoga pencil in 3.2 seconds kind of characters. And in case you can't tell, that's my least favorite in all literary history. So for me, you know, it was kind of an option, you know, to try and do somebody that was a little bit different. I mean, Walt's kind of a faulted hero. You know, he's got problems. He's got difficulties that he's dealing with. And I think that that's, you know, one of the things that makes him a little bit maybe more endearing than a lot of these superhero type characters. I think, you know, that a lot of people can, you know, kind of connect with Walt, you know, simply because, you know, he's what I tend to refer to as over. You know, he's over age, he's overweight, he's overly depressed, but he still attempts to go out there and get the job done. And to me, that makes him, you know, truly heroic. You know, he doesn't know if he's going to make it or not, but he's going to try, you know, no matter what. And I think that those are the type of things, you know, that work for Walt. The other thing is that he's just, you know, he's a decent guy. He's what a lot of people, I think, you know, prescribe to, look at in the sense, and strive to be, like that, is trying to be decent, trying to be good. And, you know, you're never going to see Walt, you know, cooking meth in his bathtub. You're never going to see Walt burying a body in his backyard. You know, he's kind of like old school. Well, the problem is that we haven't seen that type of character for so long. It's kind of avant-garde. And, you know, for me, that's one of the things that's, you know, that's kind of enjoyable about the series and about the books and about the possibility that, you know, that Walt Longmire has been as successful as he is. I can tell you a story like that about, you know, what happened recently that kind of puts it into perspective. I was out, you know, doing some research out on the Powder River country, and I pulled into a little bar out there in Arvada, one of the little towns out there, like that, and I come in to have a beer, and I look up, and there's a big sign behind the bar that says, you know, Longmire and Longnecks, Monday nights. And I look at the bartender, and I said, what's the story on this? And he goes, well, you know, Craig, a lot of these ranchers out here, you know, they don't have, you know, cable television or satellite or anything like that. And, you know, they come in and they watch Longmire on Monday nights. And we, you know, have long neck bottles of Rainier beer, you know, that we have and we sell for a buck a piece. And, you know, it's really popular. And I said, well, that's kind of cool. And he goes, no, Craig, you don't know how cool that is. The last show that they used to, you know, come in and watch was Gunsmoke. So it seems as though we're kind of like filling a void, you know, that's been around for a while.
And certainly in good company. The name of the book is Spirit of Steamboat, a Walt Longmire story. It is out from Viking. Craig, I hope you have a wonderful holiday. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, and you too. And stay out of vintage aircraft, okay?
I will. I will after this, yes, definitely. Thank you very much, Craig. I appreciate
it. You bet. My pleasure.
The name of the book, the story, Spirit of Steamboat. It is published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.